This is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, in the current world of medical practice, with the cost-cutting demands of high volume and brief encounters, relationships are often excluded or the first to go. Well, here with me to shed a bit more light on the importance of relationship in the practice of healing is Dr. David Keith. He's a professor of psychiatry, the director of family therapy, director of the Naomi Chernoff MD Creativity Conference at Upstate Medical University, and for 10 years he served as the chief of the Division of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry at Upstate Medical as well. Welcome, Dr. Keith. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So relationships are critical in healing. Can you explain this and explain why?
Well, actually, we're always in relationships, so I'm thinking more about the quality of relationships. And the medical relationship in conventional medicine, internal medicine, surgery, the doctor is the person with superior knowledge, and the patient comes to gain from that knowledge. In psychotherapy, the relationship has more of a peer quality. That is, the patient is invited to take a more active role, thus to gain some sense of their capacity to deal with their own life, with whatever problem they're working on.
But when you say quality relationship, how does the quality or what qualities within a relationship promote healing in your estimation?
We're talking about this in relation to our creativity conference, and so we're focusing on creativity, which is always a peer. There's no hierarchy in creativity. And so the reason I started doing these conferences was to develop a context for dialogue amongst practitioners about problems that we can't study with science. Medicine retains a kind of fantasy that science can solve all human problems, but the fact is science, to study human experience with science, excludes a large parts of human experience.
And many things that science can't explain, furthermore.
No, that's right, yeah. Science is a convergent way of knowing, art is a divergent way of knowing, and that's what we focus on here. And I can tell a short anecdote about our department puts on a psychopharmacology conference each year. And the administrators that run the conference have told me more than once at the break, they say, this is a different audience. They're all talking to each other. At the psychopharmacology conference, nobody talks to each other. And naturally, they talk, but there's an exuberance in this audience that I think stimulated by thinking about art.
Well, I want to get to the whole idea of art and creativity, but let's get back a little bit. I'm going to just take you back a little bit to this notion of relationship. I think you're saying something, but I'd love you to kind of say it more directly.
Okay.
There's something about the quality of relationship, maybe peer relationship or one where there isn't kind of a one-upsmanship or patronizing relationship, that has a healing effect. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes.
And is that the concept here in terms of trying to encourage that kind of sharing or that kind of relating from patient and doctor?
Yeah. Instead of sharing, I'd say openness, openness to reflection. As I say, in creativity, there is no hierarchy that a three-year-old kid in a family therapy interview has something to say that's as valuable as what the father is saying. In fact, oftentimes it may be more honest. It may be more creative. So one of our presenters, Kyle Bass from Syracuse Stage, says, art is dialogue. And that's an interesting place to begin. I do group supervision with other therapists, and the process of these supervisory meetings is something I call creative conversation, because we can't pin things down, but we can talk openly and creatively, and
thereby share ideas and maybe grow.
That's right.
So even in what you're saying, I guess, can bring you back to the medical concept here or the healing concept, is the physician has something to offer. But it sounds to me like you're also advocating that the patient has a lot to offer and that there needs to be dialogue.
That's right. I mean, that's my view. I'm director of family therapy, and So my career in psychiatry has been organized working with families and chronic illness. And chronic illness treatment tends to get stuck. And so that's where we come in, and we get the family in to, along sometimes with medical practitioners, to talk about why things aren't going where people want it to go.
And you think at the core is this idea of open communication and relationship?
Yeah, let's say creative conversation, yeah, and non-manipulative conversation. You know, like doctors have the quality of parent, and sometimes when us parents talk to our kids, we are manipulating them. We have an outcome in mind. But in a creative conversation, we don't have an outcome in mind. Where I express my view, invite you to reflect yours. If it disagrees with me, that's okay. We can still have a relationship, even though we're not quite on the same page. That's a healing context as far as I'm concerned.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink On Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. David Keith, and we're talking about the importance of relationship, especially between healthcare professionals and their patients in the healing process. So you have this creativity conference. This is going to be, or has been, the 8th annual. You do it every year.
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me more about the concept behind this creativity conference. What are you trying to accomplish in general?
Well, at the broadest, we're trying to develop open conversation about elusive issues, and we use art as a stimulus and a catalyst. And we do it each year.
So each year has a different topic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get back to this notion of art. Because you use the words creativity, which clearly people understand. It's something new that people are that's emerging out of some kind of creative act, I guess.
Yeah.
But how do you see art and medicine interrelating, or art and life and medicine interrelating? Where are the concepts here?
Well, the title of the conference is The Theater, the Clinic, Parallels and Reverberations.
That's so, this year's conference.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But they don't interact so much as they are in parallel. But being in parallel doesn't mean disconnected.
Kind of parallel universes?
Yeah. There's a concept of parallel play amongst children.
Sure.
Two kids play together, but they don't interact. They play in parallel. But nevertheless, the play of one child affects the play of the other, even though they aren't interacting. And if one kid has to leave, the play ends. So that's how art interacts with science. They don't lay on top of each other. They're parallel to each other, and there are reverberations between them. So
they impact one
sure.
another just by their sheer existence.
Yes.
But
yeah.
You're making a point here about creativity and relationship.
Yeah.
How does that play out in this year's conference with this notion of theater?
Well, I got the idea from listening to an actress talk about a role that she played in a Beckett play and how difficult it was to develop that character.
And that's Samuel Beckett,
a very well-known
playwright.
Yes, who won the Nobel Prize in 1969. But I was very impressed by the dynamics between actor and director. It reminded me a lot of what's the core experience in psychotherapy.
In what respect? Say more about that.
The intensity of the relationship, the actor is actually trying to get rid of themselves so that they get out of the way of the character, whereas in psychotherapy, oftentimes the role the person plays in life, like mother, father, a construction worker, gets in the way of being a person. So we're trying to get the role out of the way so the person can re-arrive.
That's a very interesting analogy.
Yes, and anyway, so there's all these resonations between theater and clinic. Some people use dramatic methods for teaching people how to be a doctor.
I've understood that people do role-playing in psychotherapy as well.
Sure.
As a methodology for helping someone work through some emotional or psychic conflicts.
Yes, you can do that in an ongoing treatment, but I also use it in teaching so that I'll be the therapist to a role-played family. The young therapists get to learn what it's like to be the mother of a schizophrenic son, and another one gets to learn what it's like to be a schizophrenic son. It's powerful that there's a way in which even mental illness can be viewed in part as a role that a person gets caught in, and so...
That's very interesting as well. Let me get to the topics a little bit. This whole conference is fascinating, but very briefly, I don't want to run out of time. Who is Naomi Chernoff, MD, and why is this conference named after her?
Naomi passed away in 2008 at about age 50. She developed cancer and died in 8 months. She was one of our young, or she was on our faculty. Her career started in middle life, but she was an artist, and she incorporated all kinds of role play games with the residents. She ran a service on the inpatient unit. Every resident had an alter ego name that she gave.
Wow.
And so they were living this double life on the inpatient unit.
This was in the Department of Psychiatry.
Yes. It added to fun, and it raised the spirit of the inpatient unit. You were talking about how relationships are pushed out, I guess, by business methods. And those methods are very destructive to relationships in medicine. Her playfulness resisted it, revived.
So in honor of her life and her work, you're basically doing this annual
conference.
That's right.
When she passed away, we were doing the conference already. We'd done two. She died. Now we named it after her.
I see. So bottom line is you're attempting to do this and develop this conversation. Who comes to the conference? Who are the types of people that you're trying to reach in this whole thing?
Mostly mental health professionals. From all disciplines, psychiatry, psychology, social work, marriage and family therapy.
So you're not specifically targeting it to the internal medicine doctor?
No, but they do come. I ran into a guy in the airport. He said, "Aren't you the guy that runs that creativity conference?" That was one of the best professional experiences in my life.
Wow.
He's an internist from Oneonta. So.
There's really the potential there is for anyone who's in the health care field really could benefit from something.
Even
like
and the general public is invited. It's open.
Very, very interesting. So you're going to cover some very interesting topics, or have covered some interesting topics in the past. But this year, something you're going to look at Samuel Beckett's Endgame. I don't want to run out of time in the very little bit of time. What's the key with Endgame? What are you trying to do with that play?
We have an expert on Beckett, a man who'd been a friend of Beckett's. He lives in Auburn, New York, and he's going to be the discussant. Beckett is a very sparse theater of the absurd guy, but it's a play that is an experience. You can't understand it, you experience it, and then we have a conversation about the experience.
So it's really trying to open people up to a lot of things about experience.
That's right.
Well, these are very complex topics, fascinating, and I applaud you for the work you're doing. My guest has been Dr. David Keith, who's professor of psychiatry, director of family therapy, and the director of the Naomi Chernoff MD Creativity Conference at Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks so much for coming in and sharing these concepts with us.
It was fun to do it.
I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.